Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you, David, for leading our opening worship, and John for leading our prayers this morning. Welcome to you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Adrian, and I serve as the minister here at Oaks, so welcome to you. I know we've got some visitors here this morning. It's good to have you amongst us today. I want to take you back to 1979. Anyone remember 1979? Yes. Perhaps some of you weren't born in 1979. Some of you know were definitely born in 1979. But can you remember 1979, those years of long hair and flared trousers? Well, 1979 was the first year that this particular advertising slogan was used.
Street, made for sharing.
Quality Street, made for sharing. And that's what we were encouraged to do with our box of Quality Street chocolates. And I don't know how good you were or how good you are at sharing your Quality Street. But as we come to our Bible reading this morning, we're going to learn of something else that was made for sharing. A message that was made for sharing. The gospel message. A message of good news. And in our book that we're working through as a church together, our particular reading this week from Five Things to Pray for Your Church is that we would be praying that my church would make known God's glory. And we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 1, verses 14 to 17. It says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentiles. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Evangelism is one of those words that makes your toes curl, doesn't it? I wonder why that is, though. We have a message to share that is good news. That's what the word evangelism means, to speak good news, to proclaim good news. And nobody likes hearing bad news, do they? But good news, everyone loves to hear good news. But when it comes to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and all that means for us, how are we doing? We find it difficult, don't we? To be honest, we find it difficult. Some of you may have heard of the evangelist Rico Tice. He is the writer of the Christianity Explored course that some of you may have seen. Travels all around the world talking to people about Jesus. And Rico said this. He said, I find evangelism hard. The problem with being an evangelist is that everyone assumes you find it easy. But I don't find it easy. I never have. For me, telling people about Jesus has often been nerve-wracking. But at the same time, it has been joyful. And he goes on to talk about a pain line when it comes to sharing the gospel. He says, if you're going to talk to people about Jesus, you're going to get hurt. It's going to sever some relationships. It's going to provoke people. Not every time. It depends on our circumstances and friendship groups. And our experiences will vary. But we will face rejection enough of the time to give us second thoughts. Because I don't know about you, he says, but I don't like particularly getting hurt. We're wired to assume that if we're getting hit, then something's wrong. So whenever I tell someone the gospel message and get hit, metaphorically speaking, there's a temptation either to stop saying anything or to change what I'm saying. I know there's a pain line that needs to be crossed if I tell someone the gospel. But I want to stay the comfortable side of the pain line. Of course I do. I think that's the main reason why we don't do evangelism. Perhaps you're here this morning and you identify with that. It can be hard to tell people the truth about Jesus. Maybe you can think of a time when somebody laughed at you because of your faith. You don't really believe that, do you? All that stuff about Jesus? You go to church on a Sunday? Yeah. That's right, Emma, you do. Fantastic. People might say, there's so many other things you could be doing. Why are you wasting your time, they might say. Maybe you can think of a time when you spent lots of your time and energy trying to help someone to understand the truth about Jesus, but they didn't want to know. Perhaps they even hurt you as they pushed you away. Maybe you can identify with that this morning. Of course, we know that the writer of that letter, the Apostle Paul, found it tough as well when he shared the good news about Jesus. He faced hardships. He faced beatings. He faced imprisonment, ridicule, even execution. And yet, he was able to declare, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And you might think, well, actually, that's a funny thing to say, really, because that only really makes sense if at some point Paul was tempted to be ashamed of the gospel. In the same way that perhaps you and I have been tempted to feel ashamed of the gospel. In fact, the truth is that the good news about Jesus has always been subject to ridicule and condemnation. Let me show you some graffiti. We don't have to go far into the streets around us, do we, to find graffiti scrawled on the walls. But this particular graffiti is nearly 2,000 years old. And archaeologists in Rome discovered this caricature scrawled on a wall. And what does it show? It shows a slave bowing down before a cross. And on the cross is a figure with a donkey's head. And underneath the drawing it says, Alexamenos worships his God. And that illustrates the attitude that was there in Rome.
just a couple of hundred years into the after the birth of Jesus. That was the attitude that people had to Christians. This is thought to be the first picture of Christ. And how's he pictured? As a donkey hanging on a cross. Because for the Romans it was foolishness. There was a writer, a historical writer at the same time, a Greek writer called Celsus, and he wrote a bitter attack on Christianity. And he wrote this, he said, "Christianity is not for the instructed or wise, but it's for the ignorant and unintelligent. It's for foolish persons. It's for the silly. It's for the mean. It's for the stupid." He compared Christians to a swarm of bats or ants creeping out of their nests, or like frogs holding meetings around a swamp, or like worms cowering in the mud. We say, "Don't hold back, Celsus, will you? Tell us what you really think of us." That was what they thought about these Christians. Why would anyone be ashamed of the gospel? Well, let me give you some reasons. But firstly, the gospel tells us that our salvation is free, that we don't deserve it. And that's really insulting, isn't it? Because it tells us that the only way that we can be forgiven is to receive it as a gift. And the gospel is really insulting because it tells us that Jesus died for us. It tells us that we're so far away from what God created us to be that only the death of his Son could save us. And that's insulting to us, isn't it? Because we think, surely I can't be that bad. That's insulting. The gospel is insulting because it tells us that there is nothing that we can do to earn God's favor. That there are no good works, no amount of money that we can give, no amount of righteous living, nothing except faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's all. And that's an insult to us, isn't it? What do you mean there's nothing that I can do? Surely I can earn it. Surely I can buy it. Surely I can live a good enough life. The gospel says no. And the gospel is insulting because it tells us that Jesus came and lived a life of service and suffering. And that following him means taking up that same cross of humble service and even suffering in his name. And that's an offense to us, isn't it? Because we want the gospel to be about an easy life. We want it to be about being safe and comfortable. Ashamed of the gospel? Yes, Lord, there have been those times when I have been. But we can also rejoice and stand with Paul in saying, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. The message of all that God has done for us in Christ is life-transforming, life-changing. A Syrian bishop in the 5th century, a man called Theodoret of Cyrus, he wrote this. He said that the gospel is like a chili pepper. He said, a pepper outwardly seems to be cold, but the person who crunches it between the teeth experiences the sensation of burning. Have you been there with that one, with a chili pepper? We know what it's like, don't we? It looks nothing from the outside, and we bite into it, and suddenly there's a burning sensation in our mouths. This bishop from the 5th century, he looked at the gospel and saw that. Look, at the outside, the gospel can seem to be cold, an interesting theory or philosophy. But if you take hold of it in your own life, if you accept that truth for yourself, then you know that the gospel is more than mere words. This is the power of God that brings salvation. The word there, power, is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from. This is God's dynamite that brings salvation. This is transforming, a power that changes hearts and minds, a power that transforms, a power that brings wholeness and healing and forgiveness, a power that reconciles us with God today and forever. Not because of our righteousness, but it's God's righteousness that is revealed in the gospel. God restores us to himself. And this is offered to everyone who believes. Not everyone who earns it. Not everyone who achieves it. But everyone who believes, everyone who receives, as we have faith, as we trust in what God has done for us in Christ. So Paul has this message that was made for sharing. It's a message for everyone. It's as much for the barbarians as it is for the Greeks, the foolish as it is for the wise, as it is for the highly cultured and the intellectuals. It's as much for the Gentiles as it is for the Jews. It's for you and for me. And Paul has this real burden in his life that he's been called to share the gospel with everyone. No matter what their social status is or their ethnic background. As he said, I am a debtor to both Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. I wonder if we share that same burden that Paul knew on his life. He describes himself as being a debtor. How can he be in debt to the people of Rome? You see, he's never been there. He hasn't got any bills to pay there. But we need to remember that there are two different ways of being in debt, aren't there? For example, if I were to give Angela £20 as a loan, who would Angela be in debt to? Me, that's right. But if I were to give Angela £20 and say that whatever she does, she has to pass that on to John, who is Angela now in debt to? To John. She owes John the money. I've given it to Angela to give to John. But I haven't really. I have that back. Thank you. It's a different way of being in debt, isn't it? That we're entrusted with something to pass on to someone else. Who are we in debt to? In debt to the person to pass it on. God has given us this message, this good news through Jesus. We're not in debt to God. Can't live our lives thinking we owe this debt to God to pay him back. God gives us a gift. He also gives us a gift that we might share it with others. And so our debt is to share that with others. Just as Paul knew that he was in debt to the Romans, whether they were intellectuals or barbarians, whatever background they were from, he was called to share that message with them. He's not repaying God, but he's passing on what God has entrusted to him. We're to be those bearers of the gospel, to carry the message and to share the message. I can remember when we lived in Birmingham a few years ago, there was suddenly a few days when we didn't receive any letters through the post. And this went on for a few days. And suddenly there were some birthday cards that we were expecting that didn't arrive. And we thought, that's strange. And then when we got chatting to the neighbours, it seemed that they were missing some of their post as well. So as a little group together, we contacted the post office. And it turned out that our postman had been going through the mail, taking out the ones that he took a fancy to, that he thought might have contained money in, and the rest of them were being put in the dustbin. And it actually turned out later that this postman was actually given a prison sentence under the charge of interfering with Her Majesty's mail. That serious an offence it was. But when you think about it, I wonder how many important letters went missing over those weeks. You know, job offers or test results or love letters or important cards or messages. How many went missing? Well, folks, the King of Kings, the greatest majesty of all, has entrusted us with delivering his message to the world. Delivering the good news of Jesus to our families and to our friends in our workplaces. And to do that by the words that we speak and by the lives that we live. Pointing all to all that God has done for us. And yes, it can be difficult. It says that Paul was eager to go to Rome, to the centre of the mighty Roman Empire, a place that was filled with corruption, a place where the strongest and the most devious rose to the top of the society, a place where anyone who stepped out of line would face almost certain death. And yet he was eager to go because the good news of Jesus Christ was a message for everyone. This was the power of God for salvation, even mightier than the Roman Empire. A power that would change hearts and lives in Rome 2,000 years ago. And a power that changes hearts and lives still today. So where is God calling you to share the good news? It's a message that's made for sharing. We're going to be praying this week, those of you who have got are following through the booklets, or if you haven't got a booklet and you'd like one, there's still some copies there on the front of it. We're going to be praying. As a church, we would be filled with compassion for the lost. We would be praying that we will reach out to the groups around us, the diverse groups, the different communities around us. Praying that as we are pushed outside of our comfort zone, that we would still be eager to preach the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus. We're going to be praying that we would be confident in doing that, even when sometimes we face rejection. And we're going to pray that we would marvel again at the gospel. We're going to thank God that through faith in the gospel, you have been made righteous. And we're going to thank God for making us brothers and sisters in Christ. And pray that as a church, we would never stop marveling at God's incredible grace to us. So some things to be praying for in this coming week. This is an incredible message that we have to share. Let's take hold of that message for ourselves. Know that forgiveness and that peace that God longs for each of us to know in our lives. And if you know that as a reality in your life, let's be ready to share it with those around us, wherever He calls us. We're going to pray together, and then the music group will come and lead us in a song before we have this opportunity of remembering together the depth of God's love for us made known in Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that your servant Paul was able to say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." And as we hear those words from Paul, we know what that meant for him. Giving up security, giving up wealth, giving up even his life. So important was this message of salvation through faith in Christ. But that message burned within Paul, and he knew that he could do nothing else but share it with others around him. We thank you that same truth is still true today. That, Lord God, you love us that much that you gave us Jesus, your Son. He came and lived for us, and died for us, and rose again for us, and invites us into a new life. A life that is forever in your presence. This is your power, Lord God, that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Help us to believe it, Lord. Help us to know that us being right with you is not about our own righteousness, living the right kind of life, saying the right kind of things, singing the right kind of songs. It's not about that at all. It's about being in that right relationship with you through Jesus. And his righteousness becomes our righteousness in your sight. So we thank you again. We thank you again that Jesus was willing to give up everything for us. And on that cross, he bore our sinfulness, so that we might be forgiven, that we might know your forgiveness and peace. Help us to believe it, and help us to share it for your glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing together. Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. till we stand as we're able to sing.